KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Hi, good evening. This is Ruchama Bistritsky Klatman, and I'm the founder and executive director of MASC. MASC is Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. MASCs started 20 years ago out of my living room. We just had our 20th anniversary, and we are a referral agency. We offer a helpline for parents for referrals for all mental health issues. We also have groups for parents that are dealing with different issues with their loved ones. We have Dr. Bencion Torsky for the last 20 years running groups at a Borough Park. We have Dr. Trisha Tia running a group for many, many, many years, more than 10 years, out of Brooklyn, out of Midwood. We have Sarah Kahan running a group, also several years, out of Flatbush. And we have other groups running that the listeners all can call in to find out about the different groups that we offer. Our number is 718-758-0400. We're on the air every Thursday night, this time 9 to 10, and this is our fifth show I think we're doing, and our show is called Family Matters. This evening, I'd like to welcome here with me Chaya and Karen. These are two moms that are going to share their personal journeys with their family members that they have struggled and are struggling with, different mental health issues and or addictions. MASC is, you know, we're here. You can call the helpline, anonymous, maybe not for yourself, but maybe one of you listeners know a neighbor, a relative, someone you sit next to in shul, may need our number. Our number is 718-758-0400. And we offer from ADHD to eating disorders to drugs and alcohol, gambling, bipolar, schizophrenia, any mental health issue. Divorce is an issue because it's so complicated. Family members, depression. You can call anonymously and ask us a question at our regular business hours. The helpline is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, Friday until 2 hours before Shabbos, and all day Sunday. If you have a question, feel free to call the helpline. Chaya and Karen, thank you for being here this evening with me.
You're welcome. Sure. Chaya. You're welcome.
Hi, Chaya. Karen, you there with me?
Yes, I am.
Hi. So I'm going to start with you, Chaya.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you, what made you want to be able to go on the air and share your story? What is it? Tell me a little bit about your family member that you have struggled with and your connection to MASC.
So I have a son who's a struggling teen, and he is diagnosed with ADHD and learning disabilities. And he started out in a regular mainstream yeshiva, and he struggled even in elementary school. And we tried to get him on ADHD medication, but he really did not like the side effects of the medication. So he ended up mostly not taking it. And he struggled socially, academically, and now he's in high school. And he just recently got thrown out of a mainstream high school because he has difficulty following the rules. And we didn't know where to turn and what to do because he was sitting home and we had no place to put him in. My sister heard about masks, and she told me, she heard Ruchama speak about masks, and she told me, why don't you call Ruchama at Mask? I think Ruchama can help you. And that's exactly what I did. And ever since I called her, I really feel the way I'm handling the situation changing. I am learning how to parent my son differently. In the beginning, I was parenting him in the typical, I would say, old-fashioned way, and was very down on him on how he dresses and whether he puts on tefillin and goes to shul. And there was a lot of tension and anger in the house, and it wasn't helping. The more my husband and I were down on him and criticizing him and trying to prevent him from, quote-unquote, spiraling down, the quotes are on prevention, we thought that if we say and be stricter about, you can't wear those clothes, you can't do what you're doing, it would help with him not spiraling downward. But we learned, and it took us a couple of months of going to the parenting groups to learn a different style of parenting. We learned a style that's focused more on unconditional love, and it focuses more on the relationship. It took us a couple of months to really learn this style, and it was very difficult. Our first meeting that we went to at Mask, my husband and I were horrified because we felt like we stepped into horror stories. And we were both couldn't sleep that night, and we both said, I don't know if we can come back. But Ruchama encouraged us, and Ruchama said, just keep coming. Listen with an open ear, and you'll see she has a motto. If the dance steps change, then the dance changes in the house.
I'm going to help you.
Okay.
It's, right. Mask's motto, if we change the music in our home, our children's dance steps can change.
Thank you. So initially, we did share with our son that we are going to the Mask parenting groups, and initially he was very angry. What are you doing there? Are you talking about me? Why are you going? But as he saw that our parenting style was changing, and as he saw that we were coming to try to get to acceptance of where he is, he now tells us, when are you going? I think it's time for you to go to a group. So he now can't wait till we are out the door and coming to group. So we really feel a tremendous change and a tremendous improvement in our relationship between us and our son. And because of that, we are able to manage him differently.
Well, thank you, Chaya. I'm going to ask you some more questions after we speak with Karen. Karen, welcome.
Hi.
I was wondering, Karen, what made you pick up the phone many years ago? What was it, 2009 maybe?
I think the first time was 2001.
2001? Oh, my goodness.
It was
really
a long time ago.
Right. What gave you the courage to pick up the phone, and how did you find Mask? And give us a little background of what made you call the first time, please.
Okay, so I don't even know. It was probably in 2000 or 2001 that a coworker of mine saw that I was struggling with my son. I felt like he was a little socially awkward, choosing the wrong friends when he had friends, ADHD, impulsive, giving me trouble waking up in the morning. And then he went through that stage of the skateboarding and the skateboard clothes. And It was very frustrating. So a coworker of mine insisted I come to a mask, I guess it was a function that you had, and you might have spoken, maybe Rabbi Goldwasser spoke, and there were so many parents that I was shocked. I saw how many people go and reach out for help and how many people are struggling, but there's help out there, and I said, you know, I would come and I would call mask the next day and find out about a group. So I believe I spoke to you in 2001, and I explained a little bit about my son, and you mentioned Trish Atiyah's group, and you had a group on Nostrin and L that I started to attend. And in the beginning, it was also very scary, and I also couldn't sleep that night because we saw how many people from regular, normal functioning families who had children with issues, and some were so much worse that I, too, thought, you know, I don't know if I can handle this. But I wanted to go because there was still some type of a support over there, and I would get something out of it. And I did. I heard how other parents dealt with it, how other parents were, you know, taught to deal with the situation and who to turn to for help. So from there on, I continuously went to meetings, would call from time to time, mask for ideas of where I should send my son. There were different type of places we would send him for social workers to speak to him because he was young at the time. He was 10, 11, 12. Already by 2009, it progressed into things like hookah and cigarettes and getting into a lot of trouble in school. So at that time, you recommended a therapist, I believe it was Dr. Alexander Rand, who was very instrumental in helping us, who spoke to my son for a while, and helped us, because when we would have our family sessions, it would help us to realize how to deal with this. And then again, we went back to Trisha Atiyah's meetings, and the support I felt from other parents and hearing her speak was... It was amazing. It just left me feeling enlightened, and I'm not alone, and, you know, I can learn how to live my own life. Unfortunately, it spiraled down into other things. I eventually learned that as he got older and was not afraid of the streets, he went from hookah to cigarettes on Shabbat to smoking marijuana, and it continued, getting thrown out of school, quitting high school. It was continuous, and I did, from time to time, still go to the mask meetings when they had the big functions, because I was always inspired by what they had to say and how many parents were going through it and how everybody was dealing with it differently. Eventually, I learned that I needed to go to Al-Anon. So I struggle with that myself, but I do go from time to time. Alexander Rand stayed instrumental in our life, and I'm forever grateful to Ruchama for recommending him, because... again, he was very helpful with our son. He was there when things were good. He was there when things were bad. And even when we had to send my son away, he was there when I personally picked up and went to school to become a certified addiction counselor because of all this. And he was there to help me, and that led me back to Ruchama again. So everywhere I turned, I found that Mitch was very helpful to me. And, you know, it takes time to learn parenting skills as it is. So learning parenting skills with children at risk is definitely harder, and everybody must go for help. You can't do it alone.
Right, but, you know, you're saying, Karen, that everybody should go, and yet you're also, both of you are saying that when you came in the room, you were scared. So the prevention part and calling earlier on, Why didn't you, Chaya, call early? Like, what was going on with the ADD and ADHD with your son? Did you go to a doctor? Did the school say you should see a therapist? Did they recommend medication? Could you elaborate on that?
Tom? Yes. So the truth is, I was clueless. I mean, I really did not realize the intensity and the extreme struggle that my son was going through. what the school really did for him, which was very damaging, but it was like done very quietly. I didn't even realize it. He was just being ignored. So because he wasn't behavioral, but it was more the learning disability, and he was failing, he just stayed under the radar, and they didn't indicate to me that really I should be doing something or getting help. So I did end up speaking to my pediatrician, who did recommend that I go see a neurologist. I ended up going to a pediatric neurologist for the medication. We tried a few things, and my son just did not consistently take the medication because of the side effects of the medication. It brought out more anxiety, depression, and insomnia in him. So that was the elementary school years, and I just wasn't aware. I did not realize the severity of the situation. So in high school, more things came out, because now he started to break rules. Like, because he's in a mainstream high school. In a mainstream high school, you're not allowed to go to movies. You're not allowed to talk to girls. So he was caught in middle of school going to a movie with some girls and boys, and he got thrown out. So that's really the first time I realized that this is a much bigger problem than I thought. And when I was talking to my sister and explaining to her the problem, he's now home now, I don't know what to do with him, that's when she encouraged me to call MASC. So So that's how I began my road to figuring out, you know, a better and more effective way of handling him.
I see. And tell me about your spouse. Was it the same for him as for you? Were you both on the same page? How is the relationship between your son and his father? Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. So initially, we were not on the same page. I was the one who realized that we really need to get help. And initially, my husband was not on board with getting him the help. He wanted to stay on the same track of continuing to parent him in the typical parenting way that we knew how. But I kept telling him that this is not working and we really need to do something about it. But I have to say that now that we always went together to a MASC group, and now we are very much on the same page. And I find that really, really helpful, because I did notice in groups, unfortunately, that that's not always the case. I did notice that sometimes just the mother goes, or sometimes just the father goes. And I feel very fortunate that my husband and I are very on the same page right now. We go together, and we are now a united front. We parent the same way. My son knows that we are on the same page, and I find that in itself also is very helpful in the situation that we are dealing with our son.
Thank you, Chaya. Karen, I wanted to ask you about the relationship between your husband and your son. Can you talk a little bit more about, do they have a relationship? Did they then? Was there tension between both of you at the earlier years? Can you also please speak about that?
Okay, so I'm very instrumental, more so with my kids. My husband's is not really a hands-on type of guy. He likes the fun aspect and let's go have fun, and doesn't really want to see that there's issues. And I like to dissect everything, like, why is he doing this? Why is he not doing this, my son? Or why is he doing this to us, and things like that. So the years that my son was coming home skateboarding through the streets and coming in at 3, 4 in the morning, I was the one waiting up for him, and my husband was snoring. And this went on for a long time in his teens. Then I would talk to my husband in the morning, and eventually, you know, I was lucky enough to get him to mask with me, and eventually when we had to, he doesn't like confrontation. So if my son was going to walk in at 3 in the morning, I was going to be right there by the front door to confront him. There were a few times that I was able to get my husband more and more involved as the situation started to escalate into bigger and more issues, whether it was marijuana, drugs, whether it was friends that we did not know where he was. And eventually we also did have to go to SAFE, which is an organization that helps parents and actually helps the addict themselves. So it's an outpatient group, place where we began to go. And once we started to go together to SAFE and to the family meetings and to the parenting meetings, I found that my husband slowly got more involved. And the situation got a lot more serious because the drugs got more serious. So he kind of had no choice but to step up to the plate and to be confronting in the situation. We have still moments that are a little difficult that he doesn't like to deal with. And I learned a lot of skills over time. And I was also lucky that as my son got older, my husband did come with me to mask a few times. And he saw that we're not alone and people are dealing with it and husbands and wives are dealing with it together. So I would say over the years, we definitely, you know, we grew closer in helping him. But when times are rougher, I find that we have a little bit of conflict between us because the anxiety starts to build up. And it also creates a lot of stress on the family because the rest of the family and the rest of the children see what's going on and feel a little bit neglected, whether they're married or not. They feel it. They feel broken on the inside. So, you know, I tell my husband, you know, let's be open, let's be together, let the rest of the kids see that we're together in this. And he's definitely came a long way. He came a long way, and I think my son himself sees that, knows that, and feels that.
Well, that's a very, very important thing to bring up. Thank you, Karen. In group, all the groups at MASC are facilitated by therapists. And I just want to mention for the people that are just coming on listening now, we are on the MASC radio show, Family Matters. And we're on every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Tonight, we have two moms that are so brave, and they are sharing their story of their family issues that they're dealing with, Chaya and Karen. So let's go back to Karen. Karen, you brought up a very good point, the point of the siblings. You know, siblings do have a very difficult time. Very often on our helpline, parents say, oh, I have a child in Shidduchim, and they're embarrassed, or they, you know, they're afraid that it's going to hurt their Shidduch, that they have a sibling that's acting out. I mean, we all know that Shidduchim come from God, from Hashem, and 40 days before it's already been arranged. Hashem is really the one that makes Shidduchim, but it does hurt. Sometimes the parents feel hurt, and sometimes, you know, the person that is in the shidduch time. So I'm wondering if you, Karen, or Chaya want to talk about that at all.
Okay, I have something to say for that.
Sure.
So when I don't feel, I do know that a lot of parents feel like, oh, my child is in shidduchim, and it's going to affect the children, but it affects the child themselves emotionally. It doesn't really affect the actual shidduch because that person is who that person is. I can tell you that firsthand that I was told by a friend of mine's son what was really happening and how serious his addiction was in a couple months before my daughter's wedding, and her fiance was in the house when we were stuffing envelopes for the wedding, when this person came and told me how serious it was, and I changed into a different person in 5 minutes. And I noticed, not everybody is like this, but we were lucky that he was very supportive. He wanted to come speak to me, but he was scared to come too close. And I actually had to leave town 4 days before my daughter's wedding to go to the inpatient program where my son spent 30 days before the wedding, and I had to go to a family therapy group out there. So I saw that it didn't affect him, and yes, he was already engaged and about to marry my daughter, but I don't feel that anybody in Shiduchim should feel that way. But you can't blame the actual child who is in Shiduchim for feeling hurt, because my daughter, when she was dating, would come home crying sometimes and say, one of her friends saw her brother doing this and doing that, and how could he do this to me? How could he do that to me? And I would have to speak to her, and she did go for help for a short while, but I did have to speak to her and tell her, nobody is going to not pick you because of him. You just have to keep your own name clean, and the right person will come at the right time. And we were very lucky, because her fiancé, who today is her husband of almost 4 years, is a wonderful boy and has always been supportive and helps us when things are going down. So when I feel that it's hard, but parents need to be open with their children and speak honestly and let them know that the world is not looking at them, that it's a disease, and that whatever's going on, people will actually feel sorry for them.
Right. Absolutely.
But we should definitely be open with our children.
Hi, it's Chaya. Thank you, Karen. I wanted to add, if I may, with regard to, I want to focus on the other part of the question on how to deal with the siblings. And I learned this from going to group, in that to really talk to my other children openly and discuss with them and have them share with me the struggles that they are dealing with regard to their brother who's struggling. And then so they can know that they can discuss it with me openly, and I'm here to listen, and also to explain to the other siblings that we need to view the sibling, your brother, as someone who's sick. We have to have rachmanis on him. We need to help him. So I found that advice is very helpful in how I dealt with my other children.
Right. I agree with that, by the way.
Right. You know, sometimes people ask me or my staff, of course, MASC is not just Rahama Klatman. MASC has a wonderful staff. We have Esther, we have Rifki, we have Sam, we have Sarhana, we have Dini, we have Razi, we have Victor, Noah. I mean, we have so many people that are on call to be able to help the families. You want to speak in Russian, you want to speak in Yiddish, you want to speak in Hebrew, just call the MASC line and we will help you get whatever it is that you may need, whether it's for yourself or for a family member struggling dealing with an at-risk teenager, with a married child with 3 kids that have a gambling issue, with a child that's in fourth grade with learning disabilities. Call MASC. We will connect you to the right organizations. There are other organizations that specialize in different areas, and we can help connect you, whoever that caller may be, whether it's for yourself, your neighbor, your friend, or someone you're sitting next to in shul. Give them the number 718-758-0400. You can call anonymously, ask us a question, and we'll try and give you the different options that you may be able to help your loved one with. Chaya, I wanted to go back to you, and I wanted to ask you, how many years were you struggling before you decided that you wanted to go back to school to be a therapist?
So it was about 5 years of me struggling when I decided that I want to go to school and become a therapist and to help other parents of struggling teens, because I ended up doing that, and I still do that, and I really feel good when I do that. I do it informally. I could be sitting by a wedding and just out of conversation with a woman that I'm sitting with, I try to really open up so that other person feels comfortable opening up with me, and very often I end up hearing from someone that I don't know who I'm sitting next to and their struggles with their children, and then we end up having a very good conversation. So as I was doing that informally, I decided that I really want to go to school and make this a career. So that's what I did.
Any of our listeners that would like to speak with Chaya, call MASC and we can connect you at 718-758-0400. Karen, do you want to share how your journey brought you to wanting to become a therapist?
So I can say that I guess we've been struggling over 10 years. It was a really long, hard struggle, but as time went on and as the years went on, I really learned so much, and I really understood that addiction is a real disease, and I found it very frustrating that people look down upon the addict and say, oh, he's just a loser and a low life, and he's hanging out with the wrong people, when really, if people only understood how serious a disease addiction is, including insurance companies, by the way, then they would have more sympathy, more empathy, and be willing to help and, you know, maybe even give a little confidence to the child. So after all these years, and as my son started to go away and doing better, I decided after my daughter got married, I'm going to go back to college. It's a simple, easy certificate program. It's only 1 year, and I can handle this, and I really want to give back. I really want to help people, educate, speak to other parents, and to speak to the addict themselves and help out. So I went to Kingsborough for a year, and I am still interning electively at the Coney Island outpatient and inpatient detox, and every time I'm there, I feel so rewarded. I don't even want to get out of group, because just hearing people's struggles and trying to understand how we can help them deter their triggers to other directions makes me just want to sit there and listen and help. I also have been wanting to speak to parents and children about prevention, because that's a very big thing. Information is what the communities need today, and parents opening up and willing to listen as well. And a lot of people over the years do know, and they did know that I was struggling with my son. So people that were behind where I was holding also would call me all the time or approach me at a wedding, and I would give as much information or try to support them as much as I could wherever I was at. And today, people know what I did, know what I went through, and know that I'm an addiction counselor, and I get calls, and I love to help people, even if I'm not getting paid yet and I'm not working yet in an office where they're coming to see me privately. I feel really good when I can give them a support that I once myself needed so badly.
Wow, thank you. Karen, tell me about your son today. Can you tell us where he's up to today, and is he in therapy? How is his relationship with his dad today different than before?
Definitely the relationship between the three of us, my husband and my son and my husband and myself, have gotten much better over the past few years. He is living out of town. where he did go to sober living, and it helped him tremendously. He learned a lot. We learned a lot. We went to Al-Anon. We also learned how to take care of ourselves and to realize three very important things, that we didn't cure it, we can't change it, and we cannot control it. And we realized that this is not our fault, and this is where we're all at today. My son, he does struggle. He does well for a few months, and then he struggles again. And we learned it's a lifelong disease. We try really hard to support him and give as much love as we can without smothering him and enabling him. So it's definitely a skill we needed to learn, and we're still learning. But he is doing better, and he's still learning, I can tell you.
Right. Well, we all wish you that he should have a complete refush. Layman only gets stronger and stronger.
Amen.
And that you should have complete nachas from your son. And Chaya, amen, to yours as well.
Thank
Chaya,
you.
Can you tell me about the siblings? How are they now different than they were before? You know, when they were younger, they could have reacted in embarrassment and all. But now, are they, you know, more concerned on where their brother is up to? Are they involved more in his life now than he was, than they were years ago?
So they are. But, you know, what has helped also with the siblings is just an openness. So sometimes they can be frustrated with him, and sometimes they could be more loving with him. But because they saw our approach to how we deal with him in a more loving, accepting way, it helps them also. So it's not like, I don't want to paint a rosy picture and say, oh, they're always so loving and wonderful with him. They can get very frustrated, but now they know that they don't have to hide their frustration. They can come to me or my husband very easily, very comfortably, and we will be there to listen to their struggles as well. And sometimes they could be very loving to him and internalize that he is in pain and that he is struggling himself, and then they can have rachmanis and be very nice to him. So they're kids, and they can, you know, sometimes they're in a loving mood and sometimes they're not. But what has changed is just a more openness in the house, that whatever is on their mind, they know they can come to us, and we will listen to them, and we will hear them, and we will try to help them, and we will understand them.
Chaya, you were at Mask's 20th anniversary.
Yes.
And there were many parents there, and there were many people that I'm sure you did not know there, and politicians, community leaders, other organizations, executive directors, supporting Mask, which was held in February 12th, at Bison and Bourbon. Wow, what a funky restaurant. An amazing,
yeah,
amazing.
It was a great, great day, great morning.
Great morning. It was, yeah, raining outside, but it was a wonderful, beautiful event that we shared. The First Lady, Shirley McRae, de Blasio, came to share her story, her journey with her daughter that they talk openly about. And we had other parents speaking who shared their journeys with being married to an alcoholic. I'm just wondering, Chaya, when you look around the room now you're a therapist, what is the feeling? How is it different for you as a therapist when you were at our 20th anniversary? You already graduated, you're working, you have an amazing group of parents that come to you for Mask when you facilitate your groups. You have a private practice. I'm wondering, looking at the new parents coming in, what do you want to say to those parents?
So what I really want to say to them is, because I can I can see the pain that's etched into their faces, that's in their body language, and I understand that pain, and I understand it very well. But what I also understand is the hope that's there, because initially, when I was new, it was such a feeling of hopelessness, and I got depressed at one point, and I was so down, and now what I want to tell the new parents and what I want to show them is that, yes, it's difficult. I don't want to minimize the difficulty. It's a very painful journey, and the journey can take years, but it's not hopeless. There's so much hope that could be there. And it's about learning how to, you know, as I referred to before, how to change the dance steps. But we need to create another story. We need to, and the other story that we create can be even a better story than the original story. So I see a lot of hope. The difference then to the difference now is the hope that I see. I don't just see bleak, dark, black. I also see glimmers of light, hope, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, and that's what I would tell the new parents.
What did you feel when you found out about your son with drinking? You know, were you afraid that he was addicted to alcohol? Talk a little bit about that, please.
Yes, so my son was drinking because he was self-medicating. He was in a lot of pain, and the way he helped himself with his pain was through drinking, and the drinking would numb him, and that's how he helped himself. I woke up one morning, and he was in the bathroom throwing up all over, and I thought that this is the end of the world. There is nothing that I will just not be able to live another day. This was like the worst thing that ever happened. But I cleaned up the mess. I showed him. I already had a better tools to deal with it. Even through the tremendous pain that I was in and that he was in, I was able to show him that love, in that we will get through this. We will get through this together. And he will never forget that I was able to accept him and show him that I'm there for him, even when he and I were at our lowest point.
We are listening to Chaya and Karen, two very brave moms that are sharing their journey while dealing with a loved one, a family member, a son, each of them, dealing with mental health issues in their family and addiction. Last week, we had Safe on. We had Sean and Abe, and they were talking about their intensive outpatient clinic. And if anyone is interested in reaching either Chaya, Karen, or Safe, please call MASC 718-758-0400. And for anyone just chiming in now, this is Ruchama Bistritsky-Klatman, and I'm the founder and executive director of MASC, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. MASC has been around for 20 years. Chaya, 20 years. Do you believe that 20 years ago this issue was not spoken about? And today there are so many organizations out there dealing with this. Chaya, do you have more neighbors and friends that are dealing with these issues now? I'm not talking about you being a therapist and being busy morning, afternoon, and night with clients. I'm asking you about more people in the community that you're aware of struggling, teenagers, married young couples, people that are relapsing? Do you know more people now than you did years and years ago when you started at MAST?
I know more people. I think it's now more out in the open. I'm not sure that we have a bigger problem, even though, Ruchama, you know that better. Maybe the problem has grown exponentially. But I think that there's more of an openness for people to get help, as opposed to 20 years ago when things were just thrown under the rug, hidden, and there was a lot more shame. So I think what changed 20 years ago as opposed to today, people are less shamed about it. They are more willing and open to seek help, because I don't think anyone knows, I think we all know of someone struggling with this issue. So it's just becomes more open, and people are more willing to get help because it's just too hard to do it alone. And as a person continues and parents continue to struggle with it, and they see that they can't do it alone, the pain is so great, they're forced to seek help and guidance and support, so they're not in this alone.
I would like to tell our listeners that the reason that I chose to have a Family Matters radio station is exactly about what you just said, Chaya, prevention. We don't want more teens at risk. We don't want, MASC wants parents to call early, call from first to fourth grade when the school says your child has a learning disability. Let's see what we can do to help your child succeed in the school and studies in her life. Let's call when your son, bar mitzvah age, decides before his bar mitzvah he's wearing his hat and he's excited about getting a new hat. And then after the bar mitzvah, suddenly his mood changes. He doesn't want to wear a hat. He throws his tefillin to the side. He's angry. There are kids that are getting molested. There are kids that have mental health issues. There are kids that need to address different addiction issues. Whatever it may be, we as parents need to get educated, to reach out to professionals, organizations. There are many out there that MASC could connect you to help. Whatever the listeners that you're listening in tonight, if you know somebody, a friend, a neighbor, someone you sit next to in shul, someone you're sitting next to at a wedding says they're struggling with a child, whether they're married, whether they're single, whether it's a spouse, please call MASC. Don't wait until you need to walk into a room when it's so extreme, when the behaviors have already been, they're on drugs, they're on alcohol, they're gambling, they are using the computers inappropriately, they're thrown out of yeshiva. Call MASC early, 718-758-0400. The first show that we did was with Bassi Rosenblatt, that has been running groups and supervision for the staff and for our interns from Wurzweiler at MASC, and we had one of our interns on. We also had a show with a dad that was struggling and is struggling with his daughter and his journey that he shared. And with that show, we had Shuli Halpert. Shuli Halpert and his partner are amazing. They do their yeshiva liaisons, and they help when boys and girls get kicked out of school to find the right placement for them. You can reach them by calling MASC, 718 758-0400. Karen, do you want to talk about your neighborhood, your friends? Is it different today than it was in 2001 when you first called us?
Yeah, for sure. In 2001, I feel like anybody going through struggles with their children didn't really know where to turn to. I was lucky that somebody introduced me to math, and I went and I liked what I heard, so that was helpful to me. But a lot of parents were not getting help. We all believed that our children had either ADHD, learning problems. We dealt with it on the surface and hoped that it was going to go away. Addiction, for sure, was definitely more under the radar. Parents were embarrassed, and I've heard myself say the same thing many parents say, that I wish my child had cancer and not addiction, because maybe people would have more empathy instead of looking down upon my son. So the fact that there's more awareness and more people that are willing to get help and more people out there to give help it was a challenge to get to the point where we are at now, but I feel that there's a very big difference. And awareness is everything. Being open, honest, awareness, speaking to our children, it's everything. My son at home, he's the only one at home, is 15, and over the last couple of years, I had to pull him aside and bring up subjects like, you know, do you know what addiction means? And I've been very open with him, and he sees what's going on, and he, you know, Baruch Hashem, I hope he's not, he doesn't look like he's going that way, and I think he's learning from what he's seeing, but I think being open with him made it even easier for him to open up with me. So with our children, I think we're more open, with the public eye, friends and neighbors. Like I said, a lot of people call me in my neighborhood, in my kahal, in my community, and they ask me for help because they have children at home that they're struggling with drugs, or their child got thrown out of yeshiva, and they're all going through the same thing, but they're reaching out for help now, and I think it's amazing. I want to say that I run a group every week at the outpatient, and one of the groups we run is relapse prevention or marijuana, and I remember speaking to the recovering addicts, and they said that they feel that they can't talk to people about their addiction. And I told them, myself being a recovering, you know, Baruch Hashem, I had cancer in the past, I spoke publicly to people because I wanted people to know and to be inspired that they can get help and they can get better. And, you know, I wanted to inspire other sick people to be positive while they're going through their treatment. And it's the same thing with addiction. I feel that I wanted to come to the point where people who are addicts, who are recovering, should speak to other people and not keep it under the radar, because it won't be helpful if they do that. So being open, being honest, and the fact that it's out there more is definitely helpful. And I think the younger generation is lucky to have prevention and the knowledge that they're getting. And we hope that they'll really hold on to that knowledge and that they'll do something with it and help their own friends if they see their own friends struggling.
Yes, there are many organizations, including MASC, that has programs, prevention programs, in the schools and the yeshivas. The yeshivas are all across the board open to have therapists, psychologists, groups, interns in the schools to help our young adults today. And that has definitely shifted and is amazing. Before we wrap up for tonight, I just wanted to say about MASC. We are in the schools, elementary age and high school. I was just in one of the biggest high schools in Brooklyn just a week ago doing a health day for the entire high school. If any schools want any programs, feel free to call MASC. If it's not for MASC to do, we will connect you to the right organization, the right agency. We can get speakers. If you want a speaker in your neighborhood, in the PTA, in the schools, in your home, gather 10 friends, we can bring a speaker to you. We can arrange it. You can call MASC at 718-758-0400. Write down the number. You may be able to help one of your friends. If anyone is interested in naloxone, which is another form of Narcan for prevention of opiate overdose, MASC is a distributor and trainer. Feel free to call MASC, and we can tell you how you can get a free naloxone kit. We do trainings, and we distribute it free, no charge. Or you can get it at your local drugstore with your insurance card. And that we could thank our mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, for making the Narcan and naloxone available for us to distribute. Before we wrap, we have one more minute. Chaya, thank you for coming on, having the courage to come on and share what your struggles are with your loved one. And Karen, I'd like to thank you also for sharing tonight your story, your journey with your loved one. And we at MASC want to wish both of you that both your children, your families, should only be well, and you should have nachas from them. And call us. We always say, please share good news with MASC, 718-758-0400. Talk Line Communications. You can listen to us 6:20 a.m., 9 to 10, every Thursday night on MASC Family Matters Show. Chaya and Karen, thank you. And good Shabbos to everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Please become a fan of Talk Line with Zeb Brenner on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, and YouTube. On Twitter at Talk Line Network. If you have an Android phone, please download our free app in the Google Store. For iPhones, download the Jewish Radio app. Of course, tune in 24 hours a day at TalkLineCommunications.com or our 24-hour-a-day listen line at 401-347-0304, extension 1, for non-stop Jewish broadcasting.
It's really too bad that the first time you'll meet Kings County Auto Body is by accident. Accidents do happen in Kings County. The collision damage auto accident experts will do a bang-up job to get your vehicle in tip-top shape. Kings County Auto Body is one of New York's largest independent precision collision and auto body shops, serving Brooklyn, Manhattan, Catskills, Lakewood, Monroe, Teaneck, and other areas in the New York, New Jersey region. They offer free computerized estimates as well as pickup and drop-off service. Let the many years of experience with insurance companies and damage adjusters help you save money, and aggravation insurance provided loan of cars are also available. Take it from me. When my car needed TLC to get moving again, it was King County to the rescue. From collision and glass repairs to parts and services to body work, Kings County Auto Body at 168 Woolworth Street in Brooklyn gets the job done right. For the right price, foreign or domestic, all work is guaranteed for as long as you own the vehicle.
When seconds count, you reach for the phone and call Hatzala. Hatzala is there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We need you for only one night. On Sunday, May 21st, 2017, Hatzala of Mobeisen is hosting a Night of Champions at the Marine Park Golf Course. Go to www.hatzalaofmilbeisen.org now to find out more about this exciting evening and to access discount packages. Join us today in saving lives. Become our champion Sunday, May 21st, 2017.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.